another day, another dollar makes you wonder where your money went. You can scream and you can holler.
Hi, this is Jack Spirko. Welcome to yet another episode of the Survival Podcast. One man's view of the world and being prepared for the unexpected, conveyed during a 50-mile commute either to or from home or to the office or on the way home on a daily basis. And this particular episode happens to be on my drive home. And this is a beautiful sunny day in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And the car says it's right at 100 degrees. So I got on down the road a little bit to where I could turn the AC down to minimize the background noise. And again, to my listeners, I'm working on a way to get rid of a lot of this background noise. I just haven't been able to pull it off yet. I'm looking for a device that I'm having trouble finding, and procrastinating ordering it online, of all things. If I had done that, it would be here by now. But I just feel like one day at lunch, I'm going to go to the store, they're going to have it, I'm going to buy it, and then I'll be able to start using it. Anyway, getting on to today's topic. Today's topic is 15 no-risk survival preparation techniques. And these 15 techniques are the majority of the things that I talk about and will continue to talk about on a daily basis that you can do to get ready for potential disasters, be they man-made, environmental, be they a downturn in the economy, or on a personal level. If your particular employment sector kind of takes a dump and you lose your job or things like that, these are all different things that you can do to prepare for that type of either personal, national, or global emergency. And what I want to do today, though, is take a little bit of a different look at this. I want to take a look at what does it mean if you do these things and then nothing bad happens. Everything ends up being okay. The economy that's kind of in a downturn right now kind of goes back into an upturn. It has a recovery. A lot of the things that we're hearing maybe aren't true. The conspiracy theorists are wrong. Whatever you believe is driving the economy and the world down, so to speak, doesn't happen. What's the downside of preparing? And to me, there isn't one. And maybe this is a podcast you might want to share with friends that you talk to about being a little bit more prepared that don't feel that they need to be. See, I think that most people make decisions in their life based on kind of a risk-reward ratio. And there's a big reason that people don't want to go out and buy a nuclear fallout shelter and put it in the backyard. It costs a lot of money and it doesn't really pay itself back unless you have a nuclear bomb go off, which isn't really, you know, kind of our biggest risk right now. And frankly, if we had global thermal nuclear war, if you survived in a shelter, I don't know how much would be left above ground for you to actually live on when you decided to come out. So that's not a very realistic thing. And I think a lot of the conspiracy theorists or the people that just go out to the fringe levels of either environmentalism or survivalism, and those two are pretty different groups of people. We have people that, you know, think that every time you burn a drop of gasoline, you're killing the planet. And then we have survivalist extremists who thinks that everything's a conspiracy and the Illuminati's going to reveal itself any day. Those aren't really the worlds that I live in, either one, and it's not how I advise my listeners to live either. I advise you to live from a standpoint of realistic threats. And if we're going to go now through these 15 ideas and preparation techniques, and I'm going to talk about what they mean to you if nothing happens and what they mean to you if something does happen. And you can kind of decide for yourself which ones you want to do. They're not all for everybody. And we'll kind of illustrate with that the first one. One of the things I really advise that people do is buy additional cheap land somewhere out in the sticks and homestead on it. And this is really more for the guys still living in the city. If you live in the country already, if your primary residence is 20 acres in the country with a little farmhouse and a homestead, well, obviously you don't need to do this. But I know that a lot of my listeners are kind of urban people that live in a major city like I do, and they eventually want to get out of there. For those people, I really recommend this. And there's nothing wrong with doing it even if you already live in the country. It's just not maybe as high on the priority list. So what I'm talking about is going out and finding a 2 or 5 or 10 or 20 acre tract of land somewhere in an area where it's possible to grow some of your own food and build a more economical home and eventually kind of maybe retire to or semi-retire to or move most of your lifestyle to. Now, that's a great dream for a lot of people. A lot of people want to do something like that. But let's look at the other side of this. Let's say that the economy does recover. The great crash never comes. And you've gone out and bought this little piece of land, and you've begun to improve it. You've started to clear some of it. You've set up some maybe raised beds for growing gardens on. Maybe you've put in electrical and phone and water service or a well or whatever you've had to do to put a small dwelling on it. The odds that you're going to lose money on that type of an investment are very, very low. In fact, if the economy recovers, you probably stand, if you ever decide that's not really what you want, you don't really want to live there, to have a piece of land that's worth a lot more than you pay for it. So your risk factor there is low. It's extremely low. In fact, there is no risk to me whatsoever in having an additional piece of land. Let's look at the other side. Everything goes to pot. I mean, the economy just dwindles, you lose your job, whatever happens, you can't afford the home you live in anymore. Hey, you know what? At least you got some place to go. Maybe you haven't gotten it to the point yet where it's just like home, but you can then go work on it. In other words, you've got it out. You've got a place you can go, you can get by with very little. And if you take the approach of doing it and paying for it as quickly as possible and kind of paying as you go with it rather than mortgaging yourself into an additional property, hey, you know, again, very, very low risk, very high return. No matter good times come or bad times come, you're in good shape with it. The next one that I talk about is a fundamental of modern survivalism is to store food for, you know, future shortages, be they, like a wide-scale food shortage where just food's not there, or that you have financial difficulties where you can't really afford to buy a lot of food for the next few months. And both of those are possible. Well, let's again look. The economy recovers. Nothing goes wrong. Everything is good. 2 years from now, people look back and say that preparing wasn't necessary, but you had been building up a store of additional food. But instead of building up, you know, a store of MREs and pinto beans, you're just basically buying a little bit extra as you go, and you're creating a stockpile of food that you readily use. You know, pastas and canned goods and things that don't spoil that store well that you use every day, and you slowly build that up. Right now, food is inflating faster than anybody's stocks are going up, better than any investment out there, certainly better than the 1% that you earn on a savings account. In other words, food's a good investment. If all you do is take food that you use and stockpile in your pantry, the very fact that the food's there and bought at today's prices is a good investment over buying it tomorrow. In fact, the New York Times ran a piece stating that stockpiling non-perishable foods was one of the best investments you can put your money into right now. So that's a pretty high-end financial source to get your data from. They're not exactly a bastion, again, of conservative wisdom. But when they say something like that, you know, it's something to really take and consider to be pretty factual. So, again, storing food, low risk, great return. Something goes wrong, you're prepared. Nothing goes wrong, you've hedged against inflation. And right now, food is probably a better hedge against inflation than gold, even. The next one I tell people to do is to build a secondary income. Or if you can't really build a business of your own, if you're not that kind of person, you don't have that kind of mindset, and if you have the time and availability to do this, go get a second job. Whatever you do, increase your income. Work overtime. Do whatever you can to find additional sources of income. I mostly recommend that people do that through some type of a business that they own or some type of internet venture of their own. There's plenty of ways to do that today. Even if all you do is go out and set up a couple blogs and blog and build up your blogs to a point where you can go to these various blog for money services and do that, it just makes sense to have greater income. And if something goes wrong, you've been able to save more money, or if you lose a job, you still have another income source that many people do not have, that they can't fall back on you to have that. So if something goes wrong, great. If nothing goes wrong, the only thing that happens is you have more money and you have greater income. I can't see the risk there. Just can't see it. So to me, it makes sense that would be one of the things on your radar for preparedness. The next one is I tell people save money. buy things smart. Check eBay before you go buy something. If you're going to buy a book, go to Half Price Books or check half.com before you buy it. Anything you're going to buy, see if there's an alternative that gives you the same quality for less money. I'm not talking about being cheap, all right? Cheap people go out and buy an $8 garden hose that Kingston doesn't work. Frugal people, you know, buy the best garden hose they can get their hands on, but they don't, you know, if they're going to buy a new iPod, which is kind of a luxury item, and it's selling for $250, they check eBay like I did when I just bought an 80 gig iPod Classic, and I paid $140. So, you know, that was a pretty big expenditure, but I saved $100 over buying it new. So save money, and I don't just mean on your expenses. Cut your expenses. Put money away. Invest your money into a savings account, if nothing else. But save money. Build cash reserves. Keep some cash on hand. All right? Again, let's examine the risk-reward ratio here. Something goes wrong. You have cash reserves. You have money. And you have a better way to get through the problem than those who did not save some money. Nothing goes wrong. You have more money. Again, I don't see the risk here. That's something people need to start getting in their head, that all of this preparedness talk is good for you if things go wrong or even if they don't. Let's look at another one that I really recommend to people right now. Minimize your investment in the stock market. I think the stock market is in for some trouble. Right now, I really believe that, and I think it makes sense to move into more cash assets and commodity-based assets. Now, this one actually has a risk. If everything turns around and gets better and the stock market booms, well, you don't make the increase that you would have made. But here's what I believe that's just fundamentally true. And this is what I've conveyed to my financial advisor, because he said, you know, things are going to recover. Well, I said, well, you tell me when they look like they're going to start getting better. Because right now, nobody thinks anything's going to get better anytime soon. So I think you'll have plenty of time to move back into stocks should we get into a recovery-based economy, which, you know, I honestly hope we do. I don't want this thing to completely collapse the way that sometimes I think is going to. But you know what? When things start to improve, when sectors start to improve, when the banking starts to improve, when the housing market starts to improve, go ahead and move back into stocks, right? But for now, get a lot of your money out of there, because I don't think we're done with the downslide right now, and there's not a single financial expert that believes that we can find on TV today and say, just stay the course. Everybody's saying, this is going to get worse before it gets better. So, I think that if everything gets better, you're going to have plenty of time to come back in. But if things get worse, it's going to save you a lot of money. So, again, that's another technique that I think is something that's wise to do often, is just pay attention to what's going on. And when it looks like the economy is going down, get out of the stock market while it declines. I really wish I would have taken my own advice back in 1999-2000, because it cost me a lot of money to just stay the course. And I'm not doing it this time, and I suggest you don't do it this time either. Another one that I tell people to do is produce and grow food in the form of a garden on your property, even if you live in the city, to plant small gardens. I just did a whole podcast yesterday on the Three Sisters Garden and doing things like that. Now, let's look again. Things go wrong. You have the ability to produce some of your own food. Hopefully, at the point that they start to go bad, you're already into a production phase and you already have food. Right? Great. Things don't go wrong. Things recover. Well, what have you done? One, if you have a garden on your home, I promise you, you've increased the value of your property. If you ever go to sell your property, it's going to command more if you have good, well-kept gardens on your property. It's something that buyers like. Plain and simple. Two, you're going to still cut your expenses because you're eating some food that you're producing for yourself. And three, you're going to be healthier. And four, you're probably going to be happier, because I haven't found a single person that has a garden that doesn't get some fulfillment from it. So again, having a garden, low risk, no risk. There's no risk there at all. High return, whether times get tough or even if they don't. The next one I tell people to do, kind of in the same vein, is to plant fruit and or nut trees on their property. And to find out, you know, what will grow well. In Texas, peaches do very, very well. Having peach trees on your property, again, increases property values. If nothing goes wrong, you have a source of produce on your property. You increase your property value. And if times do get tough, you have yet another source of additional food. So, again, this is not rocket science, folks. This is low risk, high return, whether something goes wrong or whether it doesn't. Another thing that I tell people to do is to consider installing solar systems. This could be a solar system or any alternative energy system, be it wind power, solar power, anything you can do to augment your energy requirements. So what happens if you put in a solar system, be it something that actually ties up the electrical grid, produces some of your power, and feeds its overflow back into the electrical grid, or you do something simple like a passive hot water solar system that heats your water instead of using electricity to heat your water? Well, if things go bad and energy becomes more expensive, you have some mitigation to the cost of electricity. I don't think anybody expects the cost of electricity to go down anytime soon. No one expects that. In fact, I don't think anybody expects that to ever happen. So the only thing that's going to happen is energy is going to get more expensive, and you're mitigating the cost. When you go to sell your home, a home with any type of alternative energy source is worth more money. It will sell for more money, even if times get better. So times get better, they improve, we go through recovery, solar systems or wind systems or any type of alternative energy sources in your home make it worth more money, and they reduce your cost of living while you're still there. Times get tough, reduce your costs of energy, reduce your total outlay of cash. So again, low risk, high reward. Another one that I tell people to do is simply to understand risk in the economy. Just be informed. Pay attention to what's going on. Know why the stock market's likely to go down. Pay attention to the financial reports. Pay attention to the financial sectors. Just know what's going on. For God's sake, just watch CNN Business for a few minutes a day. Now, you know, what's the risk there? The risk is that you spend a little bit of time not watching, I don't know, reality television or zoning out to some other sitcom, right? But the reward is that you may find out that it's time to get out of something you're highly invested in. You may find out that the time to get back into the market is coming. So, again, whether things get bad or not, it's good to be informed. There's no downside to being somewhat informed. Another thing that we teach about is learning from other disasters. Look at Hurricane Katrina. Look at what the government did wrong, but don't look at just what the government did wrong. I'm not saying blame the victims, but look at what the victims did wrong. Look at the mistakes they made. Look at the ways they could have made their lives better, that they could have gotten off with less misery. Learn from the mistakes that others make. I think that's just a fundamental good way to live life. Pay attention to what other people do. Watch the mistakes and learn from what they do. All it's going to do is make you more informed and better able to handle problems when they come your way. Again, this is something that just doesn't make any sense to not do. Another thing that I tell people to do is reduce and eliminate your debt. And what this means, if everything gets really bad and you lose a job or you lose your income or your income is cut, if you don't have a lot of debt, it's a lot easier to make it. It's a lot easier to do well. If everything recovers, you have more money to save and invest, and you're able to retire younger and wealthier. So eliminating debt, reducing debt, being smart about your debt, getting rid of the credit cards, paying off your car early, paying off your mortgage early, you know, getting rid of bad debt, there's no downside to that whatsoever, and it will help you be better prepared if we have major problems, which again, I believe that we're going to have major problems in the coming years, so I'm preparing for them that way, but if nothing goes wrong, I'm still going to be okay. In fact, I'm going to be better off for my preparation, even if times don't get worse. Another thing that we tell people to do is learn new skills. Learn how to garden. Learn how to produce secondary income streams. Learn new skill sets. This is, again, something that just seems so elementary to me. Why would you be opposed to learning how to do new things, to learning different skills, to becoming more valuable to the marketplace and to your employers and to yourself and to your family? I mean, there's just very, again, no risk. If times get better, people with greater levels of skill sets have more demand and more places that they can go out and earn an income or increase their income than people with less skill sets. So it makes sense to always be learning. Another thing that we tell people to do is have tools and materials on hand in case of a disaster. These are things like basic hand tools. So if something goes wrong with your with something at your home, you can physically fix it. Having things like wind-up rechargeable radios and lighting, the flashlights that you crank or shake. If you have these things on hand and you have a power outage, you're able to deal with the power outage. So let's say nothing goes wrong, we don't go into a tailspin, we don't have rolling blackouts. Odds are sooner or later you're going to have something break at the house, or you're going to have a power outage just because some idiot runs into a light pole. Being prepared with materials and tools, it works out no matter what. Sooner or later you're going to need them, sooner or later you're going to use them, and the investment in them is really low compared to not having them when you need them. Being helpless in a dark home in the middle of the night, not having any idea where a flashlight is, not having batteries for your flashlight, what have you, it sucks, right? And even if we don't have major catastrophes, major disasters, every person sooner and later ends up having to either fix something, repair something, or deal with a blackout. So having materials around, again, low risk no matter what happens. The next thing we tell you to do is simply stay informed. Stay informed about weather threats to where you live. If you live where I live, our biggest weather threat is tornadic activity. So we pay attention when there's thunderstorms forecast, especially in the afternoons or overnight. I have a two-story home. If we're going to have bad storms in the middle of the night, we make the big sacrifice of sleeping on our big leather couch downstairs instead of upstairs, because we may not wake up if the tornado sirens go off. We may not be the safest in the world sleeping on a couch, but we're much safer on the first floor of our house than the second floor if we get hit with a tornado. A tornado is a real risk for anybody that lives in North Texas. We're part of Tornado Alley. That's our big risk. There is some flash flooding in the area. Where I live, I'm kind of elevated. If my house is flooded, you know, we might need to call Noah up and ask him to build another ark. I'm one of the higher elevations in the city. I'm not likely to experience flooding that's going to affect my home. If I do, the whole city's underwater. So that's not my primary risk that I worry about, but it's still something that, you know, most people need to pay attention to. Flooding's possible in most locations. If you live on the coast, hurricanes are obviously a threat. Up in the northern parts of the country, blizzards, ice storms, things like that are a threat. All I'm saying is pay attention. Don't be a zombie wandering through life. Reality, sooner or later, there's going to be some type of environmental threat in your area. Being informed about it, being open to the fact that it could happen, there's no downside to it. So there's, again, a thing that people can do to be survival-minded, to be prepared, to be self-sufficient. Doesn't really have a risk if nothing happens. The worst thing that happens is you kind of know what the weather's going to be doing for the next couple days. And I think you need to be informed not just about weather threats, but economic threats. Pay attention to what's going on. Pay attention to the fact that India and China are rising economies that are taking away from our oil supply. The gas is not going to go back down to $2, folks. It's not going to happen. We used to think that $2.20 was very expensive gas. Now we would cry with joy if it went back down. It's not coming back. Pay attention to the world economy. Understand why it's not coming back. That way you can plan. That way you don't go out and buy another gas guzzler. You're going to buy a more fuel-efficient vehicle. Just be informed about what's going on, what's coming, what can happen. Be aware of risk. Nothing about that is tinfoil hat-wearing conspiracy theorist. That is simple, common sense way to live. Another thing that we tell people to do is have an evacuation plan. It's going to be our last tip of the day. Have a plan for if you got to get the hell out. A, where are you going to go? B, how are you going to get there? C, what are you going to take with you? All right. And D, have more than one way out planned. In other words, if you're going to hit a vehicle and drive somewhere. All right, and the main highway is cut off. What's your secondary route? And I suggest you have a tertiary, a third route that you can take. Now, again, let's look at an evacuation plan. If you never use it, it's taking you maybe half a day to plan out, to discuss with the rest of your family, your spouse, significant other, what have you, maybe your other immediate family members. Hey, look, I know you're not into this stuff, but if something really goes wrong, this is where we're going. Here's our different ways to get there. If you're looking for some place to get out to, we're going to be prepared. We're going to be there. You can come be with us, right? Maybe you want extended offer to your family members or certain select friends. If you have that plan and nothing goes wrong, all you wasted is a little bit of planning. If something does go wrong, you know what to do. If nothing goes wrong, but you experience knowledge of a coming threat, a big hurricane is headed toward your coastal town, you may have to leave. Having a plan, knowing where you're going, etc., even if and eventually the news guy comes on and says, don't worry about it, storm's taking a turn to the east, we're not going to get hit by this one. It will reduce your anxiety in that time. You will live more confident having that evacuation plan. So again, it's something that even if nothing goes wrong, it doesn't really cost you anything to know where you're going to go, know how you're going to get there, and know what you're going to do once you arrive. And the number one thing that happens to people in these environments where they don't get out, where they stay put, where they let these things happen, is simply because they've never thought about it. They don't know what to do. Or people that do leave but end up in a worse circumstances, they simply had no idea where they were going. They didn't understand that they had control over the situation, and they put no thought into it prior to the event happening. So again, these are all things that can be part of sensible survival planning, can make you more prepared for either regional or global or economic disaster or personal disaster. Loss of a spouse, loss of an income, loss of a job, major injury to a family member. These are all things that are far more likely to happen than the end of the world as we know it scenarios that a lot of people kick around. You can have an individual family level or regional disaster any day. That's reality. That's what these preparedness things are for. But again, all of these things that we've gone over with you today, even if nothing goes wrong, most of them put you into a better position in life. They make you able to have more, do more, be more free, do all the things that most people want out of their life anyway a lot better. And the few that don't really give you a huge upside, they have very little investment, like having an evacuation plan. Sure, if I have an evacuation plan and nothing goes wrong, I'm not richer for it. I'm really not. And I'm not hedging inflation or anything like that. But, again, if it costs me so little, it just makes sense to have that contingency plan there. So hopefully this is giving you some things to think about. It's kind of put a new spin, a new perspective on this. And again, if you know people that are kind of on the fence with the survivalism stuff, that think it's all radical, crazy talk, or, religious fanaticism or eco-fanaticism, this might be a good podcast to share with them and recommend that they listen to, because it kind of puts a new take on these things, and it puts people into that perspective. Of, hey, look, if nothing goes wrong, I'm not only okay, I'm better off for it. If something does go wrong, you are kind of screwed, and people that have done these things are going to be able to weather the storm a lot better. Hence, it makes sense to be prepared. That's why the Boy Scouts have had it for their motto for over a century now. Again, this is Jack Spirico with another edition of the Survival Podcast. I hope you enjoyed this one. And remember, drop by our website anytime, thesurvivalpodcast.com. Look up this episode or any other episode you've listened to. Comment. Give us ideas, suggestions, ask questions. If you don't understand something or you want us to elaborate on something or suggest a show, please, your feedback is more than welcome. Again, I hope you have a great day, and thank you for tuning in to another edition of the Survival Podcast.
Makes you wonder where your money went. You can scream and you can holler, it really doesn't matter, 'cause it all gets spent.